You're listening to Amun Bechazar with Daniel Eiser, Maseches Pesachim, Daf Kuf Tes, Amud Aleph, and Mirsa Shem Kuf Tes, Amud Beis as well. We're starting four lines from the top. Tanya. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Chotvin Matzos Belele Pesachim Beshvil Tinochos, Shalo Yishnu. We snatch the matzos on the night of Pesach so that the children will not fall asleep. Okay. What does this mean? Why are we snatching the matzos? What do you think that means?
To keep them engaged, confused.
So what's So what is the snatching of the matzos? What is that?
I mean, I assume it's not pikumen, but
okay. So there are a few different shatim in Rashi and Rashbam. One is chotvin. We snatch the matzos. We grab the matzos. Magbinas a ka'ara. We lift up the ka'ara, so that tinokos will like ask what's going on. And they're saying, like, and there's another pshat. So I mean, that's like the lifting of the kara, doing kind of strange things. The snatching of the matzos is like, okay, we have the matzos out. No, we're taking away the kara. Wait, where's it going? So that which we do. And there's another pshat. Rashi says it. Rashbam quotes it as well, which is that it's like we snatch the matzos like really quickly. We get to the meal really, really quickly. So the kids don't eat.
What theater is that?
Yeah, right. Exactly. But that's interesting that that's a mahalach. It says over here, chotun matzah ochlin maher. That this is that's Rashi, which he says zeh halashav ikar, right? So it seems to be that you kind of get the meal going quickly so that the kids won't fall asleep. And then Rashbam quotes yet another pshat. There, chotun misalkin es alechem miyada tinokos, that you take the food away from the kids. The kids are eating, and then you take it away from them, so that they don't fall asleep from their food, from eating too much, because you want to keep them awake. But other mefarshim note that this is like it's doing strange things on the night of Pesach, or indeed the source of the afikomen, of the like the grabbing the afikomen and you snatching it from them, and just like doing these strange things to keep them engaged and keeping them engaged and involved. So with all this pshatim of what the chotvin is a matzo, right? So we said again, we snatched the matzos, and we just gave a few pshatim in Rashi, Rashbam, and beyond of what it is that you snatch the matzos so the kids don't fall asleep. So it's either snatching the matzos that you snatch them away from the table, you grab them away from the table, like removing the ka'ara so they ask questions, or you snatch them quickly and do the meal really quickly, hurry up and eat, or that you snatch it out of the kids' hands so they don't eat too much and fall asleep, or not quote-unquote in Rashi and Rashbam, but other Mepharshim, that this is the source of the afikomen and keeping it, having an engaging game. And if there is anything that keeps the kids up at the Seder, I think it's the afikomen. It's that the diabolical plan, well thought out, to get the afikomen or whatever it is, whatever the minhag is, whether the kid steals or the kid finds it, that is something that really keeps them going to the end. And of course, this is part of this discussion we have to figure out, which is at the bottom of Kuf Ches Amud Beis, which was what exactly is the role? Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ma toelas yeshal tinokos b'yayin." Rather, you give them kleios ve'egozin. So to try to figure out what that line means, and a big part of it is that no, the role of the children at the Seder, they don't have a mitzvah. It's just chinuch. It's keeping them involved, and you have to find a way to get them to do that. Okay. Continuing, Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Amru alav al Rabbi Akiva miyamav lo amar higia es la'amod bebeis hamedrash. It was said. They said regarding Rabbi Akiva that in his days he never said, okay, it's time to get up and leave the base medrash. Chutz me arve psachim ve'erev yom kippurim, except for erev Pesach and erev Yom Kippur. Those are the only two times he said, get out of the base medrash. Be'erev Pesach b'shvil tinokos k'dei sheleishno. That the reason that he would tell him to leave the base medrash erev Pesach is so that the tinokos would not fall asleep. We'll explain that in a moment. Be'erev Yom Kippurim k'dei sheyachilu es b'neihem. And erev Yom Kippur, he said, don't go to the base medrash erev Yom Kippur. Get out of the base medrash and go eat and go feed your family. Get ready for Yom Kippur. So just that this first one is a little bit hard to understand. Like, why? So how does you leaving the base medrash Erev Pesach? I would say don't go to the base medrash Erev Pesach because you don't want to wreck your shalom bias, right? But what is this? Don't go to the base medrash Erev Pesach because the kids fall asleep. What's going on? So is Rashi here? Rashi says. Yeah, so Rashi says because you want to put the kids to bed, you want them to take a nap. But this is the source. The source for Erev Pesach nap is right here. You want them to not sleep during the Haggadah, so you put them to nap during the day. Tosas says, oh, Ishkoya, you need Tati to help the kids put the nap? The mama can do it, right? Meaning, assuming the mother is the one who's doing this in general, she doesn't need any extra help putting the kids to bed more than she needs every other day of the year. So the one day Rabbi Akiva is saying, leave the base medrash and help your wife is to put the kids in for a nap, Erev Pesach, what's going on? Tosos changes the girsa to not Erev Pesachim, but Lele Pesachim, Pesach night. That Pesach night, you don't go to the base medrash. And it actually says over here that used to be the minhag was too. Look, that people would be in the base medrash on Yom Tov night. People would go to the base medrash Yom Tov night. And the quotes of Gemara and Beitza that indicates such a thing, but not Pesach night. Pesach night, you make sure you get home right away and you get the meal going because you don't want the kids to fall asleep. Okay, so that's Rabbi Akiva. Tana Rabbanan, a new bright, and obviously it's also very relevant. To the previous point that we've been saying, we don't want the kids falling asleep at the Seder. Or definitely not before the Seder. Tan Rabbanan. Chayiv Adam li Sameach Bonav ubnei Beiso beregel. A person is obligated to cause his children and the members of his family, meaning his wife, to rejoice on the regel. Shenemar v'samachta b'chagecha. B'meh misamchim. So with what are you misamech them? B'ayin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Anashim b'roi lahem, v'nashim b'roi lahem. No, you don't give everyone wine, right? Anashim, you give what they like, what's fitting for them. What is that? B'roi lahem b'yayin, v'nashim b'may. So with women, what do they enjoy more? Tani Rav Yosef, b'bavel b'gdei tzivonin. In Bavel, they like colorful clothing. B'eretz Yisrael, b'gdei pishtan miguhatzin. Finely pressed flax garments. That was a specialty of each country. It's related to discussion of Moed Katan, I think, about the different types of like pressing and where they're better at like doing like pressing, dry cleaning like things for clothing. Okay, but that's the type of thing women enjoy clothing much more than wine. Most of the shilos about the Dalad Kosos of, you know, how much wine do I really have to use? Most of them are women asking these shilos. There are definitely women who enjoy their wine, but this is primarily the role of the simcha of men through yayin and women through clothing. Okay, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira Omer, Bisman she Beis Hamikdash Chayim ain Simcha Elo B'Basar. At the time of the Beis Hamikdash, we didn't have any Simcha. The real kiyum of Simcha was with Basar, not just Basar, but Basar of a carbon. Shenemar, the pasuk says, V'zavachta Shlamim V'yachalta Shem V'samachta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. That it says you're going to slaughter a shlamim and you're going to eat it there and you're going to be besimcha before Hashem. How do you achieve Simcha before Hashem? Well, good meat, misavachta shlamim. Avi from last night. That's a simcha before Hashem. Va'achshav she'ein beis hamikdash kayam. And now that there's no more beis hamikdash, which Hashem will have again soon. But for now, in the interim, what do we do? Ein simcha ela b'yayin. So we can still achieve simcha through yayin. Do you have a pasuk to back that up? Yes, I do. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, shne'emar v'yayin yisamach levav enosh. And we know this to be true. So wine gladdens the heart of man. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Kasta de Murisa de Hava Betzipori." So there's the Rashi says. There's Rashi or Rashbam. I always forget. The Rashbam basically says almost everything Rashi says, and then just adds to it. Yeah. So it's Amida Shemochin Ba Es Hamoris. Basically, it's a type of kli that they would use, a measuring kli for Morisa, which is like this fish fats, and so they had a certain kli that they would use for that. Dava b'tzipori, they had it in tzipori. He havas kamin luga demikdasha, and the measurement of this was a lug of the mikdash, meaning the types of lugin that we measured in the mikdash, which is the type that our Revius is based off. Uba Mish'arin Revius Shel Pesach. And through it, they would measure the Revius of Pesach. A Revius is a Revius alog. This is not hard math what I'm about to say now. The Revius is a fourth of a log. Each kos of the Dal Kosos has to be a Revius. That means that combined, you need to have a full log. So an easy way to measure out the Dal Kosos, nowadays it's very easy. You have an 8-ounce cup. We have measuring cups. It wasn't so common back then. What they did have with that people, it was a common thing to have, was one of these things that they measured the fish fats. I hope they washed it out first. But they measured the thing that they would measure out the fish fats, that they knew held a log. So basically what you do is you fill it up to the top with wine, and then you pour it evenly four times, and you know you have that's a good way to measure it. And if that doesn't work, you don't have that, so there's another option. Rabbi Yochanan, Timnaisa Kudmaisa. So the original Timnaisa, also the Rashi and Rishbam say it's some other type of measurement. Timnaisa is a measurement. The Timnaisa Kudmaisa, the original Timnaisa before, I guess, inflation, the Haval B'Tiveria that they had in Tiveria, Havas Yisera al da Riva. It was a Revius more than what it is now. So the Timnaisa used to be much bigger than it is now. Now it's a Revius less. Right? So what you can do, Uba Misharin Revius Shel Pesach, and through it you can figure out the Revius of Pesach, meaning for the Dal Kosos. Meaning, what do you do? Rashbam elaborates that, well, if you have the old Timnaisa and the new Timnaisa, right? The old one is a Revius bigger than the new one. So it's quite simple. You fill up the old Timnaisa, then you pour it in as much as you can into the new Timnaisa, and what's left in the original one? Nothing but a Revius. That's the measurement of wine for each kos. So makes it nice and easy for you. Okay. Final measurement comment. Amar Rav Chisda, Revius Shel Torah, the Revius of the Torah, meaning that in Rashbam elaborates, things that the Torah requires a revius for, yain of a nazir and dam and various halachos, but that standard revius, how big is it? How would you describe that volume? So it's bayim al etzbayim barom. It's two fingers by two fingers, barom at the height of. So what's that? That's the width and length. Two by two fingers, and barom, the height of it is etzbayim v'chetzi etzba v'chomesh etzba. It's two fingers and a half a finger and a fifth of a finger. So you can do the math if you want to figure it out. It's not too complicated, right? But imagine, so it's two fingers plus a half a finger plus a fifth of a finger. What is that? Six tenths, whatever it is, seven tenths. Maybe, whatever. We'll figure it later. That's not hard math. It's just late. So that's the height of this measurement of a Revius. So if you would want to measure a Revius in finger amounts, meaning that might be a helpful way to figure out how to do the Revius. You do this and this and this, and you figure out you can get a Revius that way as well. Kidatanya, as we learned in a Brisa, so how do we know that? How do we know that that's the measurement of fingers, that in Revius and fingers? From the following, Kidatanya, like we learned all the way back at the beginning of Maseches Erev and Daf Dalet, I believe. V'rochatz v'mayim es kol besaro. The pasuk says, "You shall wash in water." Is that this week's parsha? I think that's this week's parsha. How about that? You shall wash in water all of his flesh. Shelo yehe davar chotzeitz bein besaro l'mayim. So that it should not be a chatzitza between his flesh and the water. So b'mayim b'mei mikvah. So the water that we're talking about is the water of the mikvah. Es kol besaro. The main mikvah should be for all of his flesh. Meaning, mayim shekol gufo ola behen. Water that his entire body can go into. So we know now the minimum shear of a mikvah is the minimum amount that could cover the entire body of an average man. V'kama hein. How much is that? So turn over to Kuf Tes Amud Beis. Ama al ama, berom shalosh amos. It's one ba'ama by one ama width and one ama length, and the height of three amos. The average man, it says, is a little under 6 feet. Right? That's the average size, and therefore we know a mikvah is that amount. Vishiaru Chachamim Shiur Me Mikvah Arbayim Seya. And the Chachamim calculated it, that the shear of that, of one by one, three hamos tall, is 40 Seya. And that's the measurement. And there's a very long Rashi here that's like more than basically it's the majority of Rashi on the page, as well as Rashbam, the majority of Rashbam on the page that goes through the whole calculation. It'll remind you a lot of Dalet and more, I think, Yud Dalet in Erevin with the whole making strips. You make strips of the of length and height and battering together. But basically, he breaks it down to how you can get from that halacha, the halacha that a mikvah has to be one by one, which is three amos. And that equaling 40 seya, and then how that translates, if you break it down, a revius is going to equal two etzbayim by two etzbayim, and the height, two etzbayim, is two fingers, right? Two fingers by two and a half and a fifth. So that's, if you break it down, you do the math, you work it out. Rashi Rashbam works on that there. Okay, great. Ravashi Amar. Omar Ravashi. Ravashi said, Omar li Ravin Bar Chinana. Rava Bar Chinana said to me, Shulchan shel mikdash shel prakim hava. The shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash, the holy table of the Beis HaMikdash, must have been of prakim. Must have been of things that you can take apart and put back in. If you're going to tell me that it's mahudak, it's put in very tightly, you can't detach it anymore. Basically, glued in, fixed in. Amsa ba amsa hechi matbele. How could you possibly tovel an ama in an ama? Meaning that if the mikvah in the azara, the Beis Hamikdash, was an ama by an ama, right? Ama width and length, and the shulchan itself, we know is an ama. An ama in width. So how could you possibly tovel an ama within an ama? Rashbam explains that you can't tovel. An ama cannot fit in an ama. It needs to be a little bit more to be able to fit that in. An ama cannot fit in an ama. It has to be a drop more. So if the shulchan is an ama wide, then how could it possibly be that a mikvah that is only an ama by an ama wide, the shulchan can go in? It therefore must be they took it apart. I'll just mention one other thing, which is very interesting, that I think it was in Rashi, or it was Rashi? No, maybe it was Rashbam. Rashbam, that the Amma, it says, could be that Shad is not Amma as an Amma mikvah, but rather it was a water channel. And Amma Samayim means water channel, and it says that the Lashon of Amma Samayim, water channel, comes from the Lashon of Amma, because usually there it was like an Amma wide, which is interesting. Okay, so anyway, how is it possible you can tovel a mikvah, a shulchan that's an Amma, and a mikvah that's an Amma, therefore it must be you could take the shulchan apart and put it in, split into half amos and things like that. So the Gemara says, "My question, what kind of question is that? Dilma biyom sha'asa biyam shar biyam sha'asa shlomo hava matbile. Maybe they didn't tovel it in that one by one ama mikvah. Maybe they tovel it in the yam shel shlomo. This we for sure remember from Yadalad Amid Beis and Menseches Erevin, right? And that's where we just had the whole discussion about pi, right? It was 30 diameter, 30 amma circumference and 10 amma diameter, and we spoke about 3-to-1 ratio. That whole home discussion, lots of math over there. That was quite large, and there was no problem putting the shulchan in that thing. So maybe it was there. Tanya, as we learned in the Tanya Rebbe Chiya, as Rebbe Chiya taught in the Braisa, Yam Shas the Shlomo Machzik Mea the Chamisha Mikveh Tahara, that the Yam Shal Shlomo held within it 150 mikvaos. Right over there, we try to figure out how is that possible? How's the math? And we said, well, maybe it was round at the top and square on the bottom. And we did all these calculations to make sense of that statement. But that's what we no problem toveling the shulchan. Okay, back to our Mishnah. Vlo yivchasu lo me'arba. You cannot get less for him for the ani less than 4 kosos. Derech Agav, no one can have less than 4 kosos, right? It's not just how we have to provide the yadi, we have an obligation to have dalad kosos on Pesach. Gemara now says, Heichi mesakne rabbanon midi de osi bali de sakana. But how can you cause someone to come to Sakana. So what are you thinking? Well, that's a lot of wine to drink. You don't want to get sick, right? You don't want alcohol poisoning. Nope, that's not what the Gemara is concerned about at all. What's the Gemara concerned about? Well, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, lo yochal adam trei. A person should not eat two things. Velo yishte trei. And he should not drink two things. Velo yikaneach trei. And when he's out of the bathroom, he should not wipe himself two times. Velo yaset sarchav trei. And he should not perform his needs, do his needs twice. Rashi and Rashbam say Tasha Shemitah. So these are things that should not be done twice. Now we'll see that three is fine. Now this is, is anybody familiar with this principle that we're talking about over here? So it's a concept referred to as Zugos. Zugos. Zugos means pairs. Now it's some sort of I'm maybe superstition. In general, people are not machbid on this, and it's likely connected to demons, referencing some. There's also some hashkafic things that pairs might symbolize dualism and Zoroastrianism, which was big at the time. For why it's so damaging, but it was considered to kind of do things in pairs of two. I know my brother-in-law just shared a story that he was at a kiddush, and his Rosh Yeshiva from quite an intense yeshiva was there, and he said, so at the kiddush, he took a couple of hot dogs and put them on his place, and the Rosh Yeshiva was like, "Nu zugois." So my brother's like, okay. So he took a third hot dog, he was like surprised that anybody was backpit nowadays on Zugos. He wasn't joking. It's not the type of joke. The type of joke is also the type of backpit on Zugos. You know. But the Gemara at least the Bavli is concerned about such a thing, and I think this is going to take us. This Zugos discussion is going to extend way past today. But now we have over here pairs of two, right? You have Dal Kosos, you have two. How can Chazal tell us something to do something that is dangerous? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, there are a few answers to this. Rav Nachman says, Amar Kra Leil Shimurim, Leil HaMeshumar Uba Min HaMazikin. The Torah calls Pesach night the night of watching, Leil Shimurim. Different pshat and pashat pshat in the pasuk. What it means is, and there's actually mentions it a couple of times. Leil Shemurim for us, Leil Shemurim for Hashem. That Hashem was waiting. Aviv Shemaras Adavar. Hashem was waiting for this matter. He was focusing on Pesach for a long time. Or we have a Shemiras Mitzvos. Or Hashem protected us in the night from the Mazikin that were killing the Bechorim of Mitzrayim. But over here, so he says, we're Meshumah from Mazikin, so we're not afraid of Zugos Pesach night. Lahalacha, a couple of nafkaminos lahalacha for Leil Shimurim because of that. Anybody know any?
Don't lock your door.
Right, so some people have the custom not to lock their door Pesach night. Another thing is not to say, for people who say the big hamapil and all those psukim of hamalach goel and b'shem and all these extra psukim that provide shmira. So I think the Shulchan Aruch says we're not to say that Pesach night. You say hamapil, you say shema, and you call it. You don't need any more protection because it's leil shimurim. So those couple of things are this concept. We're not afraid of zugos on this night, says Rav Nachman. Rava Amar Rava says kos shel bracha mitzdarif latova ve'eno mitzdarif l'ra'. A kos shel bracha is mitzdarif, it can only be helpful, it cannot hurt. Rashi and Rashbam, I think both, say that they get, like, let's say somebody has one kos during the meal, and now he had, like, let's say someone had made kiddush, and now he's ready, it's the end of the meal, so he has a second kos for benching. Is that Zugos? No, that's fine. It's not going to be Mitzdarif to be bad. However, if someone had Kiddush, so he had one kos, and he had a second kos during the meal, and then he benches ala kos, so that will be, you have three. That's not Zugos anymore. So when it's a kos shel bracha, that's only Mitzdarif latov. That cannot hurt you. Even if it completes a set, it won't hurt you. So over here, we're talking about kos shel bracha here. Kos shel bracha of Kiddush. Kos shel bracha of benching. Mistama also kosha bracha of magid and kosha bracha of halal, kosha bracha, of course. So I would assume. So none of them are going to be dangerous at all, says Rava. And a third approach. Ravina Amar Arba Kase Takino Rabbanan. The Rabbanan established four kosos, derech cheirus, for the purposes of cheirus, and kol chad v'chad every single one of them, mitzvah ba'apei benafshahu, it's a mitzvah unto itself. So because of the greatness of each of these things, of each of these kosos, each of these mitzvos, each one becomes its own independent mitzvah in a sense. You could even suggest, therefore, none of them really becomes a pair. That's what it would be. And you could even view the kosos as, don't view it as the arba kosos, the dalal kosos, the four cups. It's, no, there's a kos for kiddush, like usual. There's a kos for benching, like usual. And even if you're not usually makbid, we're makbid. And then to enhance halal, to enhance magid, we put a kos there, we put a kos there. But each one is its own independent mitzvah. Yes, you could view it in a set as well as the arba kosos, but each one is its own independent mitzvah, and that's not going to be a problem of zugos. So we can wipe away your concerns. It is not dangerous to have the dal kosos, at least alts zugos. Now, hopefully you're not driving back after the Seder, but there are definitely other sakana concerns also to keep in mind. And it would be nafkamina. Maybe Leil Shimurim would protect you, but the kosher bracha not being mitzarif, maybe you could find nafkaminas there as well. Okay, we'll call here. Good Chodesh. Good Shabbos.